8:02 here in Minneapolis, 4:02 out in rainy San Diego. Still raining, gentlemen?
No, it really hasn't been raining bad all day. Just a drizzle throughout the day, and so kind of cooling things off. The humidity is actually quite high for our part of the world.
Yeah, my hair has been a mess today.
Yes. Please get it straightened away. We're coming into the game show portion of the program, and I want you to look your best.
Hello, Chris versus the fans headed your way. I will get back to my duties of reading the question here. Scrape, you said there's a couple people in their feels about our last conversation a little bit.
A little bit. It's calmed down a lot from last week, but I will never... And I'm giving people a way to get me angry, which is my problem to say this, but I will never get over when people say, oh, the media is just too soft here in San Diego. It makes my mind explode. Like, why are we to blame for this? We have nothing to do with the team.
Because if Tony and I were out on the radio, since we have a talk show that's kind of out there in the public eye, if Tony and I would come on and just say, hey, Luis, you're terrible, and it's time for you to be, ninth in the order or out of the lineup altogether and be tremendously critical, that would change everything. And it just wouldn't. You're right, Scraby, it wouldn't. The fact of the matter is, neither of us believe that. Maybe in Philadelphia, some guy would come on and go, it's time we take Trey Turner and get rid of this guy. Because it's happened before in places like that. But almost every time that kind of thing happens, it gets some attention. And then what happens? Trey Turner starts playing like Trey Turner again, and then it goes away.
I
mean, I think the comment was that we now you guys are allowed, people aren't allowed to voice their opinion. I think clearly everybody's been voicing their opinion. No one has been stopped from voicing their opinion. We've had this conversation now for like 3 days. At least we've talked about it
more,
for 3 days.
More. So, way more, Tony. Way more.
Oh, man.
Not only am I soft on Luis Ariz, I am also on Mike Schilt's personal payroll.
That's right. That's right.
Every time I say something to defend him, money flows in.
I want to bring this up. AJ Cassaville, Mike Schilt, last week. AJ was asking about Ryan O'Hearn, and Mike Schilt asked him a question, and AJ kind of went back and forth with him a little bit, and the people online were like crushing AJ Cassaville, like, oh, now is your chance to really tell him. And AJ said, my job is not to debate the manager. My job is to report on what the manager is saying. And these people were like, no, you have to debate. You have to debate. Like, what kind of world do these people live in, honestly? They live in a fake world. They do. I mean, it's not real to expect AJ Cassaville to get in some major debate with Mike Schilt during his media scrum about Ryan O'Hearn.
I think it's kind of funny that Scraby's been on my case for treating the listeners poorly lately, and then he says that they live in a fake world.
Well, those people do, yes.
Oh, I see, okay.
Yeah, the ones that are like, the media is soft, okay. You guys are lying to us, those are the people I'm talking to.
I gotcha, okay.
I mean, the media... The media always has the same tone of the people that live in the city, right? I mean, New Yorkers match up with New York media. Philadelphia matches up with Philadelphia media. So, I mean, the media is only a mirror image in some ways of the people that live in the city, right? That's kind of how, if you look at the how it rolls in the other cities that we're talking about, that's certainly a match. So, I don't know. Well, media is what it is.
I think AJ Cassaville needs to.
I don't think AJ. Yeah, no. AJ's job was not to sit there and go back and forth or give his opinion. He's actually a journalist, so he actually is there to, as he said, report what is being said.
I thought when the Padres lose two or three games in a row, it is AJ Cassaville's job to actually physically put his hands around the neck of Mike Schilt.
I have it. AJ Cassaville, Mike Schilt, main event at the WWE Royal Rumble down there.
Speaking of AJ, Scrape, you were behind the scenes saying that he didn't want to come on our show. He is adamant that He hasn't received a phone call from you.
Not yet.
In a
long time. Okay. Now this whole story has become a whole thing too. AJ Caswell comes up to me in the press box one day. It was like, Tony said that you think I hate you, and I'm like, what? Like, Tony said that? Yeah, and then it went from there.
I just said that you wasn't answering the phone calls anymore from Scraby, and he was like, what? I haven't received any phone calls from Scraby, so I don't know. Somebody's not telling the truth. We got a game to get to, so let's play some Chris vs. Fans.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the Fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, the prize. You'll be qualified for our grand prize. A two-night stay at Resorts World Las Vegas plus VIP admission to IU Day Club and $175 food and beverage credit. Celebrate summer with a two-night stay at Resorts World Las Vegas. Dine poolside at one of the five unique pool experiences in the 5.5 acres pool complex, the largest elevated pool deck on the Las Vegas Strip, and experience IU Day Club, a stunning oasis inspired by the idyllic islands of Southeast Asia, where the ultimate party concepts transform the weekend into a never-ending summer. Special summer rates available now at rwlasvegas.com. Now offering no resorts fees and complimentary parking. Gotta say, if I never say the word idyllic again in my life, I'll be fine. It's been a month with this one, but the rules: you have to make it through three questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get the question wrong and Chris gets it right, you are eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question, or you win if you're a first time player. Let us know before you get into it, and you'll get that question for free today.
All right.
Oh, I need to give you a contestant.
Who's our first contestant there, buddy?
Let's go to Matthew.
Matthew, come on down. How are you, my friend? Happy Thursday.
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Good.
Pretty good.
We're doing Thanks
well.
For playing.
All right. All right. Here we go. First question.
All right.
Paula Abdul was a cheerleader for what sports team?
The Los Angeles Lakers.
Lake Show is correct.
She was indeed.
I mean, honestly, I'm asking you honestly, Chris. Were you there when she was a cheerleader?
No. I think she was a little before I covered the team.
All right.
Question number two. Who was the first player inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame?
First person.
Cy Young?
Cy Young?
They stay there.
That is incorrect.
Is this a one or a two?
This is a two.
I mean, a two or a three. Here's the problem I have.
Uh-oh.
Mm-mm.
I don't like it when he starts this.
Well, look.
I got this off of a website, by the way.
Yeah, Babe Ruth, Ty Cobb, maybe Cy Young, Honus Wagner, Christy Matt. They all went in the same time. There was one first class inducted in like the mid-30s. So I don't know what this website is after, other than to say whose name was actually called first. But, you know, they all went in at the same time. I'll say Babe Ruth, but I don't know what you're looking for.
Sorry.
All right.
All right. Well,
who are you going with?
I mean, if they all kind of be like, you know, because we just had five people go in on this one.
Yeah.
They never really induct one person at a time, do they? You know what I mean? You saw it in a book, so it's...
Oh,
you know.
I guess they're saying that Ty Cobb, because he had 98% of the vote, he was... But that's not the question.
The highest?
So.
That's not the question. I think we should let Matthew get to the next round there.
Yeah, let him go to the next round. He's good.
Because he named one of the guys that went in the first class.
I don't even remember what he said.
He said Cy Young.
Oh, yeah.
He said Cy Young.
Well, let's ask. Let's make sure. Can we? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. He's right
there. He definitely said
no,
Cy
Young.
No,
but did Cy Young go in the first class? That's what we should ask here.
Oh, I have it right here.
Okay. Who were the player. There was four or five.
He did not.
Oh.
1937. Anyway, we've already
Cy Young went
going
the
through.
Second year.
No, we haven't made a decision yet. Come on, Scrape. We got to play all the right. game right.
Man. Cy Young went in the right? second class, so that's not correct.
So he did. That's not correct.
Not correct. Sorry, Matthew. Sorry, Matthew. We've ruled against you.
I tried to get you through, Matthew.
We've ruled against you.
Let's go to the next. Let's go to the next contestant.
Let's go to Neil.
Neil, welcome to the show. Come on down.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hi, Neil.
All right. First question. Which MLB team has never appeared in a World Series?
Seattle Mariners.
Correct. Nice job.
Question number two.
They're the only ones, I think, aren't they?
Yep.
That have never, yeah. I think they are.
Who was the first major league player to reach 500 home runs?
500.
Gotta be Babe Ruth.
Gotta be the Bambino.
The Babe.
Hey, very good.
I really want to create some time machine to bring the Babe to today. I really want to see him face off against like a Nick Pivetta or like even a Mason Miller. Just have him sit in 103 with his little twig at the plate. Come on.
I feel like the Babe would need a little time to adjust, but I bet you he could probably hit a few. Come on. Can't be like,
who do you think
totally
would,
overmatched.
Who do you think would get more hits out of 100? Me or the Babe? I think it's me.
Oh, God. You just put yourself on par with the guy who's basically considered the greatest baseball player in the history of the sport.
I know.
That's hilarious.
That was a little much.
was a little much. That's a lot.
Question number three.
I take it back.
Okay.
The Padres have not lost to two teams this season.
Boy.
Name both of them.
Two teams they have not lost to.
No L's.
Oh, boy.
Tough.
I'll say the Braves.
Braves?
And the Mets.
Stay there, though, Neil.
See, this is where Neil unfortunately erred, and he didn't do it intentionally. I had one of them. I didn't have the second one. But the Mets is correct, because they've only played the one series, and they swept them. The other team that they swept is Cleveland.
I just hit my microphone.
Sorry about that, Neil. I don't know how I would have come up with that,
sorry,
though.
Neil.
He
See, that's
said
the problem
Mets,
when,
and that threw
the,
it to me. Yep, yep.
That's the problem when you genuinely guess and don't really know. He actually hit one of them in
he
the
did,
Mets.
And that threw it to me.
And that just opened the door to you.
Yeah.
Man. All right. I think we're in tiebreaker land.
Tiebreaker
now.
Land.
Tiebreaker, tiebreaker.
Yeah, yeah.
Should we go to the Babe for our guy?
Hey, the Bambino. Why not?
Why not?
I typed in Jeff Hamby and it didn't come up. So.
Jeff Bambino.
The great Hambino. All right, I got it. Let's go to Raphael.
Hi, Raphael.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, hello, welcome to the tiebreaker. Best of luck to you today. You going to do a pitching category or a hitting category, Scrape?
That's a great question. Bambino, I'm going to do pitched. A hitting category.
All right.
All right, so here's
714.
How it works. Okay, no, it's not.
Everybody knows the home run.
It's not the number of home runs.
Don't give that.
So I'm going to ask Chris for, he's going to give me a number, and Raphael's going to answer whether the actual number is higher or lower than what Chris said.
Right.
I can't talk, which is a bad thing for me.
I mean, it's, you know, I want to say one thing before we get it. Bambino has the all-time career OPS is 1164.
Okay, maybe we should pick someone else because Chris is just like
a psychopedia. All I'm saying is that on this show, we do tend to be, you know, we try to be fair to the Babe and say, you know, but he didn't play in the league with everybody. But the people he did play with, he was pretty dominant.
He was the best
was
of
dominant.
That.
He was really
he was
dominant.
Dominant.
Yeah,
for
he
sure.
was really dominant.
For sure.
All right, okay. Maybe Chris won't know this one.
All right.
But what is his career OPS plus?
Oh, brother. I don't even know what that is.
He definitely doesn't know what that is.
What is zero good or what are we
no,
looking
no,
at? I don't even know what's good.
100 is average.
100 is,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
So was he an average player?
But it could go all the way up past 100. Like, it doesn't stop at 100.
Well, he wasn't an average player. He's have to be plus 150 at least.
150, you say?
I guess. I'm not Raphael, sure about
the
stat. Raphael,
is the answer higher or lower than 150?
I'll go higher.
Higher.
He says he's even better than that.
Nice. Raphael. Stay there, Raphael. He had a 206 OPS plus, Chris.
Is that good?
He was 101%. He was 101% better.
Yeah, that's how they do it.
Player.
Yeah.
So you were saying 150? 150 would mean that he's 50% better than the average player.
Ah, okay. Well, Babe Ruth was better than, yeah. I mean, look, when he hit 59 home runs the previous was 21.
You know he was good. He was smoking cigars every night, like big ones.
You know, as he was running around, as he was waddling around the bases.
He was swinging a literal tree. So you know he was good.
I'm looking at stats. He didn't really play in 1914, but 15, 16, 17, he had 4 home runs, 3 home runs, 2 home runs.
Yeah, but nobody had any in those days. The ball was like trying to hit a steel weight. Until they finally changed the makeup of the ball in 1921, and that's when he hit 59 or whatever it was.
I mean, he had a season where he had 168 RBIs.
Were they making was the baseball a pillow?
Well, they called it the dead ball era.
That is true.
There was a guy. There was a guy back.
Man went from 4 homers to 5 to yeah. Wait, I mean, it's the next.
He went from 4-3-2, 11, 29, 54, 59, 35, 41, 46.
Yeah.
Just ridiculous.
I'm glad Bay played it because they would be accused of him of juicing if he was playing in today's day and age.
What I recall back, and I was there the year that Babe hit 4 home runs in 1917. There was a guy.
Just got that.
Yeah, the guy who won the title that year, I believe, was a guy whose nickname was Home Run Baker.
Oh,
and he hit 9 win the league.
Man,
so it was a different time.
Man, they should just call me Touchdown Screamy.
Let's get to break. More with Chris on the other side. It's a traffic.
I was just on Wikipedia during the break, looking up a list. The greatest baseball players of all time. There you were. Right next to Babe Ruth.
I knew that was coming. I knew it. I felt it.
They spelled
funny.
Your name right and everything.
I feel a little stupid now for saying that.
That was a funny one. Babe Ruth, like I said, he takes a little heat on this show because he played in an era before the great black athletes, etc. But, I mean, his dominance is undeniable, as we were talking. And in 1920 and 21, back-to-back years, he won the home run title each year by 35 home runs over the second-place guy. So that'd be like Judge having 82 and the next guy having, 47. So it was pretty good, the Babe.
The Babe.
For his time. Aztecs open tonight against Stony Brook. All right, it's a start. There is a little.
Where did we say Stony Brook was?
The Sea Wolves.
No. Where are they at?
Oh, where they're in Long Island.
Long Island.
Yes, I don't know where in Long Island, but they're way away. They came out a long way for this game.
They're way away.
Yeah, they're way out there. South Florida leads Boise State 10-7 at halftime. For those keeping track of college football. Tony, we talked a little bit about Texas and Ohio State Saturday and how Julian Sain will get a big opportunity there for the Buckeyes against Arch Manning. How about Monday night? Intrigue you to watch TCU at North Carolina? It intrigues me.
Yep.
Right?
Definitely.
You want to see Belichick? Sure. See what he's doing?
I want to see the effect he had on these young men already. See if... it's this old, I hate to even do the old.
Yeah,
school
the old
thing,
school,
but
right? Yeah,
but it's certainly a way that you don't see done very often anymore, and so we'll see how what kind of effect it has on young men. We've seen it work on grown men, which is probably harder, a little bit harder to convince people who are far past 18 to get in line, but he has found a way to do it.
He wasn't
successful doing it at the end, but he still can do it, I think.
Where do you think is more important? Belichick's just ability to relate with players, and motivate, or just maybe his plain knowledge of football? Like, does he have that much more than the guy who's coaching for TCU, or is that overrated?
So I think there's a difference between having knowledge and being able to teach it.
Okay.
And I think that's why Bill Belichick cannot get old, or it will take him not being able to teach, which I think he could be able to do for a long time. You know, I think when you have the ability to teach, you have the ability to have an impact, because it's one thing to have the knowledge, but it's not always easy to be able to then apply that knowledge in a way that someone else can learn from. And I think that's what listening to a few people who, you know, who have been around Bill, the one thing they say about him is that he can actually coach every position on the field. Like, he knows techniques, and I think that's valuable. If you are a young kid and you actually buy into it, and you got some talent, you got a chance to make yourself some money.
I would think, yeah. I mean, Belichick, I mean, again, people forget. I mean, he was the defensive coordinator for the Giants under Bill Parcells, like when they were winning the Super Bowl in the 80s. So he's been, you know, he's been doing it for a while. It's pretty good. Is Tony flipping a quarter on the desk? Is that what you're doing, Tony?
I was spinning a quarter. I didn't realize it was making that much noise.
Isn't that funny that we can all hear that? Yeah.
Until Scraby started making faces, and I was like, oh, I must be making faces.
I thought it was Chris, honestly.
It usually is. By the way, under the category of having knowledge and not being able to teach it, I've always felt like I knew how to do a talk show. Been trying to teach Scraby. You've seen the results. Ha!
Be a better teacher,
coach.
Then.
Be a better teacher. Then. Okay, all right. Well, that's fair.
You know what? This wouldn't happen if John Chlesnick, the sports doctor, was here.
Sports doctor. First guy I ever worked with, Tony, John Chlesnick, who was nicknamed himself the sports doctor. Scraby met John Chlesnick as a John Chlesnick was a teacher.
Yeah, sports radio guy at Palomar, and I took a class way back when, before I even got into radio. What was your – so Chris also had a nickname. He was the sports doctor, and Chris was –
The specialist. That's my first show.
You didn't answer me. What was the specialist? What are you specialist of?
I don't know that I was specialized in anything, but somebody called in with the nickname, and we thought it sounded good because Chlesnick was the sports doctor, and for the first little while, I was just kind of Chris, and so we had to come up with
something. The sports doctor and Chris.
And the specialist. I became the specialist all of a sudden. I seemed to know what I was talking about.
Crazy how that works.
Until Louisa Rise moved into the two hole. Then all of a sudden,
we got
knowledge went away.
We got through it.
We got a big five coming up. Gwen and Chris.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right. This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Nativa Interiors. This Labor Day weekend, two iconic design companies are joining forces for a warehouse sale. Join Nativa Interiors and Hold It Contemporary Home in Miramar for huge discounts on living, dining, bedroom, and outdoor furnishings. Call or text for more details at 619-215-6893. We're going to talk about Eric Weddle here to start off the Big Five. We're also going to talk about Americans betting on football. And then at the end, the NFL has taken or stolen the City Connect idea from Major League Baseball, and they are now themselves doing, they're not calling it City Connect, but it's called like rivalry jerseys or something.
That's what they're calling it, yeah. Eight teams have released them. Have you seen them yet, Tony?
I saw some of the modeled quarterbacks that were out there doing include Josh Allen, who I think was front and center.
He was.
I like him. You know, I'm a sucker for new uniforms. You know that.
Yeah.
49ers ones look sweet.
I'm an old guy, and it's like one uniform for each team. Enough.
Same one all year. You got rips in the uniform.
Perfectly
you got
fine.
Just one jersey.
But even though I'm that guy, I kind of like all these uniforms.
I do
now.
Too.
I've come around to
I
it.
I do too. We'll talk about those at the end.
Number five.
Rancho Bernardo High School football coach Eric Weddle has seen kids dropping his team in big numbers, dropping out of his team in big numbers. On the Coach JB show, Weddle said, quote, "I try to help the kids see the big picture, what it looks like to be successful in the next part of life. Kids and parents have a tough time with this, and I think there are better think there are better options elsewhere. At the end of the day, we have a standard, and they'd rather leave or not play." End quote. So, Tony, you're up first today. Is this a parent problem or a kid problem?
Ooh, what? That's a good question there, son.
That's a good question.
He says, what?
But let's also first say that we're just believing in that Eric Weddle is making a point, which a lot of us think about now, and that is, you know, do kids really want to be worked? Do they really want to be, you know, stick to it? Or do they want kind of an easier road?
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I can only speak for myself and how my wife and I kind of think that it's a both deal, right? I mean, the child is raised by the parents. They tend to parrot or, you know, do the things that your parents are requiring you to do. It's usually followed by that. And usually when that's not the case, a coach can be hard on a kid and a parent will understand it. I do think it's probably a problem of both. There are standards as it pertains, especially football. I mean, there's probably as much discipline in that sport as there is in any of the sports in terms of what is being asked of you. And I can only imagine a former NFL pro bowler that is now a high school coach has probably higher than normal expectations, and there's nothing wrong with that. And those kids that may not ever make it to the NFL, maybe not even play college, they will be better for those lessons learned from a guy like Eric Weddle. Whether they go on to be pros, collegiate or not, those are the type of that is originally why our parents put us in sports. Wasn't to be pros or to, you know, be successful in that sport necessarily. It was about the life lessons you learn as you become in the next phase of your life. And I think we've kind of all lost track of that because it is so lucrative now for young athletes to get to the next level. And so I'm with Eric on that, man. I think it's probably a little bit of both.
Chris, parent problem, kid problem?
I'm going to blame the parents more. I think
you do that.
I will. I think the kids think about it, and I think the parents, if they brought them up properly and laid the right framework and groundwork from the beginning, I think they could then make a difference when the moment was at hand. And I look at somebody like Tony Gwynn Jr., whose kids, I believe, have been parented quite well and are all having different levels of success in their sport, but I do believe are still pretty well-rounded kids, and I don't think any of Tony Gwynn Jr.'s kids would even be thinking about leaving a situation because the going got a little tough. And I've seen this on the women's basketball side many times. Playing time isn't quite what you want. Time to transfer, time to quit. And I pretty much, I get a little of the background inside on this stuff, Tony, and I hear most of the time the parents are the ones leading the charge. So I shouldn't say it's in all situations because every situation's different, let's be honest. But I think parents might be more at fault here than we think. I don't know. Just my thought.
All right. Yeah. M. McKee is one of our top listeners to the show. Her son is JV at Rancho Bernardo, and then another listener, Nate, his son is on the freshman squad. But I guess at the parent meeting, it sounded like a lot of kids left to play club for their other sports. So I think they have less than 40 kids on this team right now, or at least when the article was written.
That's a whole nother conversation, the club element, playing year-round. I was just having this conversation with AJ. And I was asking him his opinion on my son in terms of I had been thinking, you know, you start – and this is a great question because it opens up so many things. This is the conundrum that all parents fall into now is that even if they are of this thought that we are, you start to get around your other parents and the pressure starts to mount. You start to feel like, man, if I don't get my son in this or my daughter in this, they're missing out. And that's the tough part, man, it's when you get around your other peers, your other parents, and they're talking about it. And so, you know, the specialization of one sport is part of the whole thing that I'm talking about in terms of the lost track of what kids are actually in sports for. They're specializing because they're trying to make it in that particular sport right now. And so, you know, I think that's the tough part, man. And it's kids miss out on you know, being the best athlete they can in terms of playing multiple sports. But it's hard because that's what the Joneses is doing.
It's such a different world from when we played sports, Tony. It's such a different
way
world.
Different.
How about when I played back in the dark ages?
More different.
You played high school baseball with a stick.
When the coach told me to run through the wall, I just did it.
Just did it.
Whatever happened to that?
There's two players from my senior year high school team that ended up going pro, and only one of them is still in the NFL ranks, which is Kevin O'Connell. So if you're thinking your kid's going to go pro, it's a long shot for them to go pro. I mean, it's a long shot. It's not.
I understand parents now, you know, wanting their kids to dream big, for sure.
Yeah. But be realistic.
I think there's got to be a realistic.
Yeah, my parents realized real quick I was not going to be the pro athlete lottery ticket.
They saw Babe Ruth and
Number 4. Americans are projected to wager $30 billion on the NFL this season through legal sportsbook, an 8.5% increase from last year's $27.5 billion, according to the American Gaming Association. This figure includes all bets from preseason through Super Bowl 60. And in 2024, the NFL generated more bets and money than any other league at DraftKings, despite having fewer games than the NBA and Major League Baseball. So, Chris, you're up. Why do people bet more on football than any other sport?
I think they started earlier. When I was a little kid, sorry to do this to you, Scrib, but the Wednesday, I'll be honest with you, the Wednesday LA Times in the back put all the point spreads of the football games. This is, you know, 30 years ago.
But it wasn't even legal, so I don't understand why they did that.
Points.
I don't know why do car commercials show cars driving 90 miles an hour and spinning around? That's not legal necessarily to do.
That's a good point.
That sells the cars, I guess. I don't know. I just think the NFL has been longer built around the odds of the game. That's all. Right. Because I think all the other sports are catching up.
Tony, what do you think? Why do they bet more on football?
I think we just conditioned to bet football more. We've been doing it longer. You've had these prop bets going for quite some time now, and there's just more to bet on in football in the course of a game. And football was like the first guinea pig of it all. And so I think everybody's just conditioned to it.
Number 3.
It was recently revealed on the Post Moves podcast, South Carolina women's basketball coach Dawn Staley interviewed for the previously vacant Knicks head coach job. Here is what Dawn Staley had to say on that podcast.
I interviewed for the Knicks. I did. It was the same interview that everybody else that was in their candidate pool. Same thing. Went in. I mean, it was like hours in the interview. I thought I did pretty well. I was well prepared for the interview, right? If the Knicks would have offered me the job, I would have had to do it. Okay. Not just for me, it's for women, for just to break open that I would have to, and it's the New York Knicks. And I'm from Philly, but it's the freaking New York Knicks. And I did say that in the interview. Like, It's the I said.
Okay, I'm just gonna, in case she swears again. I didn't watch it all the way through, but she was getting close there. So
it's gravy. It's a panic.
I did. Once she said the first one, I was like, oh, the other one's coming. My question to you, Tony: do you think Don Staley would be successful as a head coach in the NBA?
Yeah, why not? I don't know that what defines success, like win an NBA championship.
Multiple years winning teams.
I think she would be a good head coach in the NBA, regardless of, you know, what that success looked like. I think she would be good. I think she could get men to buy in and follow. I think she probably has a ton of respect because she played and she's Hall of Famer ultimately. So that comes with a little cachet. I think she'd do great. And I think she's right. She probably would have felt obligated to take that job regardless because of, I mean, it's the first. She'd be the first. Yeah. So, I think she'd do a terrific job.
Chris?
All the things Tony said. Right. Really a Dawn Staley fan, except every now and again when she starts gloating about South Carolina's team. But most of it, I'm really a Dawn Staley fan.
Did anybody else think, I hope I don't get in trouble for saying this, but did anybody else think of the movie Eddie when you think of
I didn't.
No. Dawn Staley coaching New York?
Such a stupid movie that I
That was an amazing forgot. Movie. So,
all right, here we go.
Tony, did you like Eddie?
Yes, I liked Eddie, but I don't think Dawn Staley went when
I mean, it's the same thing. She became Whoopi Goldberg became the head coach of the New York Knicks.
Whoopi Goldberg cannot play basketball. It's not the same.
Number two. It's a great movie, Eddie. She was a limo driver. She
I liked
got the
movie
interview.
Too. I enjoyed it.
Coach Prime had an idea in the ever-changing world of college sports. Deion Sanders, he came up with an idea for the college football playoff that nobody really has mentioned yet, which is pay the players for making the tournament and pay them more if they're when their teams win. If they do that, then, quote, now it's equality, now it's even, and every player is making the same amount of money. Nick Saban also said college sports before was working towards the goal of professional sports, and you build your worth and value through the years of college football, but those days are long gone. So, Chris, should the college football playoff teams get money for making the tournament and then winning in the tournament?
I like the idea only I haven't had time to ferret out all the pros and cons.
I love it when he says ferret.
But I do like it, and I like it a whole lot better than giving somebody like Arch Manning $8 million because his name's Manning, and he hasn't even taken a snap.
Fair enough. Tony, what do you think?
Yeah,
should they get
I
money?
I like the idea.
All right.
I think it would also prevent dudes from like not participating in the bowl games, obviously.
That
right?
Would be
I
mean, big, you're
getting,
yeah.
You're getting broke off. You're going to have your whole team in there ready to roll. And if it's like the NFL playoffs, everybody's getting the same amount. You know, it's one everybody's getting the same slice. So nobody feels slighted. It's not, you know, it's I like it. I like the idea.
All right, number 1 was just about the NFL uniforms. You guys like them? The new
love it.
It's better than the Color Rush uniforms that they had for sure.
I like the Color Rush. I told you I'm a sucker for uniforms.
Me too.
I like the Color Rush.
The Color Rush game between the Bills and the Jets was an all-timer though, because if you remember, the people who
red,
were colorblind couldn't see the game.
They couldn't. That's
that was
hilarious.
A classic moment
that is
in
hilarious.
Television history.
All right, that's it, guys. We will be back tomorrow. Ryan O'Hearn scheduled on the show, so don't miss it. We start at 2 p.m. I'll be back at 6 p.m. We have the roundtable from earlier today up next on Quinn and Chris.
Get your drafts ready, boys.
Draft time.
That's right, I forgot.